you a high performer, obsessed with growth, and looking for an edge? Welcome to Mind Body Peak Performance. Together, we'll discover underground secrets to unlocking the full potential of your mind, body, and spirit. We'll learn from some of the world's leading minds, from ancient wisdom to cutting-edge tools and everything in between. This is your host, Nick Urban. Enjoy the episode. Hey folks, thanks for tuning in. Over the next few weeks, we'll be covering traditional Chinese medicine, the science of subtle energies, and a device I've been using to turn my water into pharmaceuticals, natural compounds, and much more. I know it sounds crazy, but our guest will explain exactly how and why it works next month. Let's talk about this episode though. Joining us are Zach Tucker and Jeremy Grader, the founders and co-hosts of a podcast called The Fit Mess. For nearly a decade, they've pushed themselves to learn more about their own physical, emotional, and mental health. For the last 2 years, they've been interviewing some of the biggest names in health and wellness and sharing these conversations with a wide-ranging audience. Zach Tucker is against the whole one-size-fits-all concept and is on a mission to share his story and some of the tools that helped him on his own wellness journey. Zach's also certified to teach yoga and insanity live. Jeremy Grader, on the other hand, has spent most of the last decade experimenting with a variety of wellness tools to improve his mental health, lose 70 pounds, and share what's helped most along the way. Jeremy's a certified REBT mindset life coach. He's also been in the broadcasting and podcasting business for about 2 decades. You can learn more about their show at thefitmess.com or connect with them on the socials. They're mostly at fitmessguys. Fitness is a big part of my life and I talk a lot about it. I've exercised and lifted weights religiously since I was a little kid, so it's hard for me to imagine life without it and the myriad health benefits it brings. But this conversation is more about the non-physical benefits, the mental and emotional specifically. So relax and learn about why exercise does much more than sculpt your perfect physical body. Tonight, I've got Zach Tucker and Jeremy Grader on the show. They are the founders and hosts of the Fit Mess podcast. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
And so that my listeners know who's who, can you guys match a voice to a name?
Sure. I'm Zach.
And I'm Jeremy. I don't know who the bottle cap was. That wasn't me.
What have you guys done so far today? What unusual or non-negotiable things have you done for your health and performance? Maybe it's drinking a beer as we're getting started.
You know, I almost grabbed one. I had one in the fridge. I almost grabbed it.
I did.
Did you get one? I did for you?
I did grab one, but it's a non-alcoholic beer. So both Jeremy and I, neither one of us drink alcohol anymore just because of the, you know, negative effects that alcohol can have on you. For me, it was sleep, right? It was just interrupting my sleep if I had a beer or two. And it's not worth it to me to lose, you know, that recovery time and that ability to rest for alcohol. So we actually have really good non-alcoholic beer.
How did you discover that? Because usually people can recognize that if they've had 5-10 drinks, some kind of exorbitant amount, but one drink seems pretty minimal. Are you tracking that somehow?
Yeah. So I was using, at the time, I think I had a Fitbit and it was just tracking my sleep. And my brother actually bet me that I couldn't go a year without drinking. We were both drunk when he made the bet and he put real money on the line. So of course I just put my beer down and stopped right there. So I actually had like a whole bunch of sleep data that I could compare to. And after like a month, I looked at it and like I was resting better. I was actually waking up earlier. And it was like, wow, I just have to stop drinking and I get like an extra hour every day. This is amazing.
And I knew for me when I stopped, it was never like an addiction issue. It was more just a dependency. It was something that I would turn to when I was having emotional problems or something. And I could go into that one beer saying, I'm going to have just one beer. But one beer inevitably turned into three and inevitably turned into five and inevitably turned into feeling horrible the next day. And I just got to a point where I was done feeling horrible. and just was like, that's it. I'm done. I'm not going to do this for a while. And that while has now been about 4 years.
Wow. So you guys both agree that the number one thing for your health and performance is to stop drinking and sleep.
I don't know if I'd say number one, but critical. Yeah. Sleep for sure. You know, sleep, alcohol, definitely. I think, you know, if you've got a healthy relationship with alcohol and can have a drink or two and it doesn't turn into pain and suffering and all that, then, you know, I'm not going to be the one to tell you to stop, but you know, it's worked for us for sure.
So our listeners might get a little confused. Your title of the podcast is The Fit Mess. And have you guys done anything fitness related today?
I guess from a nutritional standpoint, one thing that we actually learned recently on our show was the concept of delaying caffeine. So one of the things that we've started doing is, at least I don't know if you're still doing it, Zach, but yeah, every day I wait at least 2 hours before I have my first cup of coffee, just because it allows your adrenal system to wake up. It allows your body to wake up naturally rather than stimulating it right off the bat and needing to feed that beast all day with caffeine. Now, by delaying for a couple of hours, I can have one or two cups of coffee like a normal human being and have a pretty balanced level of energy throughout the day. That's one of the biggest surprising changes that I've implemented from our own show that I've noticed makes a huge difference in my performance.
Yeah, I've done a little bit more moving today. I went to a 6:30 a.m. kind of power yoga, hot yoga class, and left a puddle on the floor. That was wonderful. And then I spent my lunch break for half an hour just like watching some TV and rolling around on the floor in a foam roller. So,
Jeremy, I actually do the same thing. I tend to wait about 2 hours after I wake up because you get the natural effect of the cortisol clearing the adenosine receptors. So you get that little burst of alertness in the morning that happens naturally. And then you wait the 2 hours and then the caffeine also does the same thing and it clears the adenosine receptor again. So instead of requiring multiple cups, I can just also get away with that one cup around 9:30, 10 a.m.
Yep. No, it's a game changer. It's such a valuable tool.
Yeah.
I do the same thing too. I bring it with me to the gym and to yoga. So my coffee is in the car. It's waiting for me. And the time it takes me to get up, get to the gym, work out, and then finish chatting with everyone, it's like almost exactly 2 hours after I wake up. Mm. So it's the way I have gotten through some workouts, the really tough workouts, is I know there's a cup of coffee in the car waiting for me.
It's counterintuitive. I used to have the store-bought pre-workout before my 6:30 in the morning workout. And then I would wake up and I'd be very stimulated then. And then later in the afternoon, I'd crash hard. And now I delay, which for years is the opposite of what I did, but I feel a lot better throughout the day instead of that huge spike and that huge crash.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Sure.
So the Fit Mess is not your traditional fitness podcast. Tell me about what you guys are doing there.
The whole idea is that, you know, there are plenty of social media handles and accounts and people to follow that will tell you exactly how to work out, how often to work out, what to eat, what's toxic, all of that stuff. We don't know the answers and we just know what works for us. We know what we've tried and failed. And we just wanted to sort of share the experience of two vulnerable guys and the struggle that we have to maintain our spiritual, mental, physical health, because it is work. It's a lifelong struggle. And, you know, the idea of a magic pill, a shortcut, something that is going to just solve all of your problems just doesn't exist. And so we just really want to highlight that, you know, we're two relatively privileged guys and this is really hard for us too. So we're just trying to sort of build that community and help people know that, that whatever struggle they're facing is, you know, one that they're not alone in. They've got a community in us to come to and share in that experience.
Zach, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I'll say, you know, the name is really, I guess, personal for both of us, but the name really, you know, in my mind signifies the, you know, I liken it to, you know, cleaning your house. And if your house is completely messy and you can't walk from, you know, the front door to the kitchen to eat food, you don't have to clean the whole house just to get to the kitchen. You just have to clean a path and it's going to be messy. It's going to be hard, but you know, getting to your goals is not easy and it's a struggle and you just have to clear the path. You don't have to do everything else. So, the name is, you know, we heard it and we both like went, aha, yeah, that says what we're trying, the struggle in three words.
When I was getting started early on, I thought of fitness as a means of improving body composition. But then as I got started, when I actually stopped exercising, if I was traveling or life came in the way, I realized that yes, fitness does improve body composition, but there's also other much more profound benefits, in my opinion, the whole mental side of things, the emotional side, like building resilience. These are the things that I didn't realize were happening every time I worked out or even just went on a nice long walk that in hindsight, after it was taken away from me, after I stopped doing it, then I had reason to continue.
Yeah, I'll echo that. That is, you know, if I go like 3-4 days without like a good workout mentally, I just start to, you know, I get more anxiety. I get more depressed. I actually realize that, you know, things that are relatively easy with focus, I have trouble focusing on things. And it's clear that like I need daily movement every single day. Like there's got to be something. Like I do hard workouts 3 days a week, and then I go to yoga 2 to 3 times a week just to, you know, make sure I'm still moving and getting, you know, all of those juices flowing to my brain that I desperately need. So you're right. Like it's nice to look good, but the way I feel after I exercise and the way I feel for days after I exercise is so much more important to me.
Yeah. There's just a lot of balance there. It's the same for me. I don't exercise for physical reasons. I recognize that is a nice consequence of the action, but I've battled depression my entire life. And that has been the one thing that no matter what pill I've tried or strategy or tip or trick, if I don't move my body, you know, somewhat significantly every day, then I'm getting ready for a slide into a dark place. And so that's one of the key things that I do to make sure that I stay well mentally is to just get in at least like a half hour walk or something just to move my body, because alternatively, it's just it's a dark place waiting to be visited.
And if you could compress the benefits of exercise, whether it's resistance training, it's a run, it's yoga, it's even just a walk into a pill, it'd be a multi-billion dollar product.
Mm-hmm. It would, but it would only last for so long, right? Because then everybody would be perfectly well, perfectly fit, and utopia would be found.
Be a good problem to have. Yeah. So what are some of the topics that you guys are destigmatizing and spreading awareness of on your show?
So I think Jeremy mentioned it earlier, like vulnerability is the number one piece. Especially for guys, being vulnerable is definitely something that I was raised to not be. You don't talk about your feelings. You keep them bottled up. You man up, you rub dirt on it and get up and move on. So we're really trying to normalize the fact that it's okay to talk about your feelings. It's okay to talk about your mental health, especially with other guys, because more than likely they're experiencing similar issues. And becoming a community, like that vulnerability piece is really important to me, because Jeremy and I actually started getting better when we started having these conversations where we were being vulnerable with each other. And that's what led to the podcast, was just these great conversations we were having that were leading to massive increases in my health and wellness, just by opening up and sharing what I was feeling and realizing there was somebody else feeling the same thing.
And along those same lines, I think putting an even finer point on the men part of that is, you know, hearing men talk like this is not very common in most places. That's my experience. That's what we are told by many of our listeners. So even talking about kind of what masculinity is and what it means to be a real man or a tough guy or whatever it is, you know, just trying to reframe that is a bigger tent than the one that we've all been living under for a long time, and sort of changing the perception of what that means and what it means to show up as a man in your life, and to really take care of all of your needs and not just the typical robotic, you know, I feel nothing, I'm here to lift heavy things perspective that we all have on men.
Yeah, and I can relate to that. I grew up playing American football, went to college for it, played rugby, and it's drilled into you from the very start that you don't have feelings, you don't express your feelings. None of that has any time or place. And so until recently, I realized that a lot of my actions, I can actually trace back to thoughts which turn into feelings, which turn into actions of some sort. And by sharing that with the right people, it can actually have a profoundly positive impact.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah. Agreed.
What are some of the more controversial topics or things you guys are into? For example, what's your stance on therapy?
Everyone should have a therapist.
Yeah, everyone should be assigned a therapist at birth and have them to guide them, and then they can upgrade as the years go on. But yeah, it's absolutely essential, I think, in pretty much everyone's life. I could not recommend enough going to therapy. It absolutely changed my life. It is incredibly profound. And, you know, people worry about being like overanalyzed or, you know, what it means or whatever. But I mean, a therapist is essentially there to hold up a mirror and reflect back everything that you're saying to them in a different voice so that you can have a more pragmatic perception of yourself and the way you talk about yourself and to yourself. And just having that filter to sort of push that information through just gives you a whole new perspective on who you are and how serious your problems really are. And, you know, some strategies and ways to deal with them, I think.
Yeah, it's a much needed third-party perspective. And I like to say that relationships, intimate relationships, are kind of the same thing or similar thing in that they're a mirror. They show you like your blind spots, your weaknesses, your shadows, where you can improve. But then a therapist is like that, but different, because it's a third party, like getting to know you and looking in on your situation. And I see a therapist. I think it's, if you don't think you need a therapist, you probably need one most, and in ways you don't yet know.
Exactly. Yes, I agree with that.
Yes. And it's so much more important. I can think of several instances where my wife has pointed out something to me, a blind spot to which, you know, that led to a fight or me, you know, saying, no, that's not true. And then a therapist pointed out the exact same thing. And I was like, huh, that's interesting. That must be true. And then I went home and told my wife about it. And then she got mad that I believed the therapist over her. So it's always good to have that third party.
That's the great thing about a therapist, though, is that removed perspective, that someone who's not too close, because it's so easy to be worried about what someone close to you is going to think about the thing that you're saying. And when there's somebody who they're literally listening to what you're saying because you're paying them to, you know, that there's no barrier there that prevents you from really opening up, because that's exactly what you're there to do.
Mm-hmm. And they don't have the incentive to give you the answer you want to hear.
Right. They're not going to just, oh yeah, you're right about that. That's terrible what's happening to you. When sometimes you need to be told, yeah, that's kind of your bad. You kind of messed up there.
Yeah. One of you mentioned in a previous conversation, a quote that I liked, and it was tired muscles, quiet, dark voices. What does that mean?
That gets back to what we were talking about before, about just the daily movement and the need to exercise. Again, if I don't move, if I don't exercise, then that's when the demons start to get the loudest, and that's when things get the darkest. Mm-hmm. And so that really popped into my head one night. There was somebody posted something on Twitter that was like, you know, explain your wellness goals in 6 words or something. And I literally just, that was what came into my mind. And that just became sort of a mantra that I like repeating, because I think it just helps me remember what I need to do to maintain my mental health.
On this show, I talk a lot about the advanced fitness things you can do, the exercises, the modifications, the peptides and fancy biohacks. But for on the other end, for people who are just getting started, what tips do you guys have for the fitness newbies who want to get into it without making it a full-time job?
I would say, I mean, start small with things like walking that you can do, but you know, be safe about it. I would highly recommend, you know, if you can, you know, go to a place where there's a coach and somebody who can help you through it. There's nothing, and it's happened to me. There's nothing worse than, you know, doing an exercise at home, doing it wrong and hurting yourself. Right. So if you don't have a lot of experience, you know, definitely get in front of somebody who knows what they're doing, working out with them if you can. You know, if you can't, get really good instruction. I mean, nowadays you can do Zoom calls with people to help check your form. But, you know, especially for me, like, as you know, over 40 now, I can't seem to do anything without hurting myself anymore. And, you know, I've got a really good coach now who is watching me and making these minor tweaks and adjustments that are keeping me safe. So I would recommend getting a coach, making sure you don't hurt yourself.
And the other thing there is 10 reps, 100 reps now, if you do it wrong, can take 500, 1,000 reps down the line, years later after you've thoroughly ingrained a faulty movement pattern.
Yep. Yeah. My squats were I've been doing squats the same way for my entire life. And just recently my knee started hurting when I was doing squats. Turned out I was just, my legs were collapsing a little bit too much. And all I had to do was push my legs out just a tiny little bit, but it took probably 3 months of continuous squatting, thinking about that movement to change the muscle memory because I just wanted to do it the old way.
And I'll echo what Zach was saying about starting small, and I'll add, don't wait until Monday. Don't wait until tomorrow. Like if you're going to do it, you're going to do it now, or you're not going to do it. And doing it now means, you know, maybe putting down the bag of chips that you're eating while you're listening to this, or deciding, hey, for dinner, instead of, you know, pasta, I'm going to alter the pasta with, you know, zucchini squash or something. Like, but just do it now, whatever it is, some small thing. Drink more water today. Go to bed earlier today. Find one thing that you can do every day and do that every day for a week. And then find another thing that you can add on to that. And you'll find that those one things turn into five things, turn into 10 things, and they build on each other. And all of a sudden you're feeling better. So now you don't want that bag of chips that you put down a week ago. All of a sudden you realize what a terrible decision that was, because you feel so much better because of the few things that you've done since then. So that's that I can't emphasize enough. Just start small, but do it now, because every time I've ever told myself, oh yeah, start of the month, we'll get on the horse, or oh, New Year's resolution, that's the time, you know, forget it. In a week, it's done. So just do it now and start small.
Yeah, start with the micro habits, the consistent micro habits. Make it so minuscule that you can commit to it and follow through. And when you do that, you get a hit of dopamine, a little self-reward, feels great. And then over time, you can increase it. You can make it a little more, a little longer, a little more strenuous. But to establish it, make it something that seems so simple that you couldn't possibly fail. And don't delay. Like, that's one for me too, that if I delay till tomorrow, well, work can happen. Mm-hmm. So a friend can call me up and need something urgently. Okay, well, now I haven't worked out in several days. And then what's going to happen the next day?
Right. There's always going to be something.
Yeah. There's always something. And I've learned for myself that when I make a decision to do something, I am way more excited about it than a week later when I actually go to do it. So yep. Take that excitement that you have with making the decision and just go do it.
Mm-hmm. When I first met you guys, we talked about learning and growth and how you guys approach this subject. It's a huge fascination and part of who I am. And I think that if the world was full of, if everyone cultivated their curiosity, the world would be a better place. What do you guys do in that realm?
Well, I mean, you said it, curiosity. That's the key word. That's the word that we keep hearing on our show, and being curious about yourself and curious to other ways of doing things. There's a great book that talks about growth mindset and fixed mindset. And it's really important to be in that growth mindset, to realize that you can grow beyond what you are and be curious about those things. As an example, I'm going to bring up the latest challenge that I've put on myself is, I am a carnivore. I love hamburgers. I love steaks. If it walks on four legs, I will eat it. Like, that's just, I love meat, but I'm going to go against that. And I'm going to try eating vegan for about a month just to see how my body reacts to it. And you know what, if there's positive benefits to it, well, I might have to consider, you know, not eating meat as much, a little bit, we'll still do it. But, you know, I think just being curious about your body and what it can do and not believing all of the things that we've, you know, that have been ingrained in our brains over the years and going against that and figuring out what really works for you.
Life really is N=1 self experiment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess the other thing I would say, because a lot of what Zach said, I totally agree with, and just being curious about, you know, going back to the potato chips, I was, you know, there's a whole story with the potato chips and my head is still stuck there and I won't bore you with it. But, you know, when you're eating that and you're realizing all of a sudden, oh, why am I even doing this? I'm not even hungry. It's just this emotional crutch that I'm leaning on. When you get curious about those things, you start to have these moments of clarity of, oh, this is what's driving me to this bad behavior. This is what's driving me to that bad behavior. And it can really help you start to set those things aside. But on the other side of things, when you get curious about what's out there that I don't know about, or what's out there that I used to dismiss as insane or crazy, that I would laugh at the idea of ever even trying, that if I just said yes to it and gave it a shot, what would that do to my life? There are so many things that we have talked about on our show that before we started doing it, if it was 5 years ago and somebody said, oh yeah, let some, you know, shaman teach you how to breathe differently and you won't believe the trip that you'll go on, I would go, you're nuts. I'm not going to go sit with a bunch of hippies and breathe real hard in a room for an hour and see what happens. But as it turns out, that's some of the most profound experiences I've ever had in my life are the things that I once dismissed. So get curious about what you can do to feel better and just don't dismiss anything. I mean, unless it's dangerous. I mean, if there's clearly like, hey, don't jump out of an airplane without a parachute. You know, that's just some sound advice. But if there are things that you can do that you can try that seem crazy, try them. Just say yes, because you'll be so amazed at how much more of a rich life experience you have by saying yes to the things that you think are crazy.
To become aware of all the closed belief systems you're trapped in. For people that are recognizing the value of curiosity, but don't know if they're capable of getting there, do you have any tips?
I think the simplest place to start, no matter where you are, you're listening to this podcast right now, you're in your car on the way to the job you hate or whatever, just ask yourself right now, why am I doing this? Why am I listening to this show? What drove me to this? Why am I going to this job that I hate? What is there some other thing I can do differently to make this a more rewarding life experience? You know, just start with why, and literally right now where you are. Why do I feel the way I do? Why am I eating what I'm eating? Why am I doing what I'm doing later, even though I don't want to? If you just start with why, that I think is when you start opening up all the other answers you're looking for, because that's where the curiosity starts, is just trying to figure out who you are and why you're doing the things you're doing.
Yeah. To add on that too, like asking the question why is really important, but just be prepared, because sometimes you can go down a dark alley when you really do ask why and you find out what's going on.
And what do you do in that case?
Well, you go to your assigned therapist that you were assigned at birth, right?
Right. That's right.
You talk through it with them.
Yes. So the best way to start is to ask why. And I like to do it around the things that I catch myself going on autopilot for, the things that seem like they're ingrained into my daily routine. And I've been doing this for a long time. Say, a big one for me is supplementation. Why am I taking this specific supplement? I've been taking it for 6 months now. Is there a reason that I'm taking it still? I don't know. I need to reevaluate.
Yeah, that's a great kind of small level example. I'll share the big one that I just faced. I was in a position where I was living in a place I didn't want to live anymore, going to a job I didn't want to have anymore, and just living a life that I didn't want to live anymore. And I just asked myself, why am I doing this? Is there another option? And as it turns out, there was. And by making that decision, by asking myself that question, I'm now in the middle of selling that house. I've moved to another country. Wow. I quit my job. Like all these things where I was just like, I just don't want to do this anymore. And this isn't about like a problem with my life. It's a problem with the choices I'm making. And I have the power to change those choices and do something else. So again, you know, you can start with why am I taking the supplement? And you might end up with, why do I live in this country? You know, why do I live where it can go all over the place. So just really open yourself up to what that why means and really listen to what it's telling you, because it can lead you to some pretty profound changes.
Mm-hmm. I know that you guys both have a few biohacks or like health optimization practices that you dabble with. Do you want to share some of those? You mentioned breath work a minute ago.
Yeah, I can talk a little bit about that. I have a couple of things that are non-negotiable. I have to do them all the time. One it, for me is cold therapy. For some reason, thanks mom and dad for the genetics. If I look at, you know, gluten or sugar or anything like that, all of my muscles get inflamed and I just have to look at it. So I actually go into a cryotherapy place and I think it gets down to like negative 280 degrees for 3 minutes. And, you know, that is just amazing for my body to keep the inflammation away, keep me, you know, hopefully not injured when I'm exercising. So that's one of my main things. And Jeremy's got a couple as well.
Yeah, I mean, cold therapy is huge. Breath work is huge. Meditation is foundational. It's absolutely an amazing place to start with any sort of, you know, biohacking, if you want to count it that. It's such an ancient practice, but makes a huge difference. You can also get into more of the gadgety stuff. Like right now I'm wearing the Apollo Neuro Band, which is basically just sort of helps you feel the way you want to feel and engage in the way you want to engage. So that's like a handy little gadget that I enjoy. I'm also using, there's an online service that they take your blood work and they work up a whole nutrition and a supplement plan, exercise plan, and it's all based on your blood and you can go as far as your DNA. And I've been using that and following the recommendations that it offered. And in the last week, I've lost 5 pounds. I'm feeling great. I'm drinking tons of water. I'm really living the life that I wanted to live. And it's because I'm following these guidelines. So there's great services like that online. And
is that one called Inside Tracker?
It is.
Uh-huh.
It is. Very, very powerful way to track what you're doing. And it really spells out. Here, in my case, it gave me 35 options to optimize my health. And I went, oh, let's start with 5. And 35, that's a big pill to swallow. Let's start with 5. And the change is obvious. So there's just a few things that I like to mess with.
Yeah, those are great. And I think that blood is like the motor oil of the body. And it can give you diagnostic codes of what you need to work on, what the lowest hanging fruit are, so you're not spending tens of thousands of dollars and all these fancy things, when really you can just make a couple little super cheap tweaks and be better off in the first place. Let's go on to some of the questions I ask all the guests to see what you guys have to say.
Okay.
Imagine that there's a worldwide burning of the books and that all knowledge on earth is gone. You get to save the works of 3 teachers. They can be anything ranging from podcasts to YouTube videos to hardcover books, you name it. What would you choose and why?
So I would save the collective works of Tim Ferriss. I think his books, especially the 4-Hour Work Week and the 4-Hour Body, were like my intro to thinking differently, to being curious, because those concepts seemed crazy at the time. So I like that. And I think Joe Dispenza has been putting out a lot of work. And I've been reading a lot about, and actually like something just happened where I asked the universe for it and it answered today. So, you know, I think I would just bring all of his books and, you know, probably just an anxiety book. 'Cause I suffer from high anxiety. So I just need an anxiety book to read through and make sure I'm treating my anxiety well. There's so many of them though.
In his book, Becoming Supernatural is what got me thinking about emotional health to begin with.
Yeah, it's right next to me. I've read it like twice now. Mm-hmm. I read it once and then I went through it again, listened to the audiobook, and it's really just changing my perspective on so many things, and it's amazing.
So many years ago, I watched the movie, What the Bleep Do We Know? And this was back when I watched a movie like that going, well, this seems crazy. And every time he spoke in that movie, I was just like, who is this guy? I must know more about the way he sees the world. This is incredible. So yeah, he's brilliant. My list would begin with Lost Connections, the book Lost Connections by Johann Hari. Just absolutely changed my feelings, my ideas about addiction and about where it comes from and how so much of our problems are rooted in our lack of connection, real, true connection with other people. Powerful stuff. Anything by Ryan Holiday. He's had a huge impact on my life. Probably Obstacle is the Way or The Daily Stoic would be something I'd want to keep around. And then of course, the entire Star Wars collection, because, you know, culture must be protected.
Because of course. those 6 works were all on my list too, so cool here that we connected like that.
Nice.
What is the best and or worst advice that you've both received?
Wow. I think the worst advice that I've ever gotten that is really commonplace is like, you know, if you want to be healthy, maintain your health, you need to eat like 6 times a day. And that's still relatively common. I do intermittent fasting now for the most part. I eat you know, two big meals a day. And the whole concept of eating six meals a day, if you want to be healthier, get, you know, leaner and bigger, I just don't buy into that anymore. And I just feel like for me, eating six times a day is time consuming and my body really processes food. So whenever I do eat, like I get tired, I want to take a nap. So for me, eating less times is actually beneficial for me.
Mm-hmm. I think for me, it would be something along the lines of, you know, that any one way is the right way. There's going to be a number of things that, you know, scientifically, when you connect all the dots and cross all the T's and all that, that this is what's supposed to happen. That might not happen for you. And the only way you're going to know what does work for you is to try it and fail at it, or try and succeed. But just, you know, taking one person's word as gospel and only doing what they tell you to do is probably going to end badly, because it's so different for everyone.
What is the most controversial opinion that both of you have?
I think I'm gonna have to talk about Joe Dispenza again, because I over the last couple of months, we've talked to a few people about manifestation and the universe and just, you know, putting things out there. And I really am starting to become a believer that, you know, there is, I'm going to say it, this mystical force out there, you know, like bringing the Star Wars back in, that's out there, and science can't measure it yet. I think they will. But it seems to be, you know, obviously most people that you start talking to about this, they look at you like you have two heads, you're crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm really just starting to like talk about it from the rooftops. I think it's really great.
Yeah. Some people call it the quantum, others call it subtle energy, others call it magic, mystery, you name it. But it seems that if ancient cultures from around the world all had different names for it, there's probably something there. And I too didn't believe it at all until I actually put it to the test and gave it ample time. And when I did, and I reflect on it, then I noticed that it might not be a one-to-one, I want exactly this and this is what happens, but it's close.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is one of the things that got Zach and I so interested in even doing the show, is because so many times we'd have these conversations and be on the same wavelength. And I am going to just again echo what he says, just the whole idea that you can attract into your life the kind of life that you want to live seems crazy to people. But I'm telling you, I'm living today in a house two doors down from where I was in January and said, I want to live in this neighborhood. And I'm two doors away from where I was. And that's not just me sitting on a couch and waiting for life to happen to me, but having that decision and putting that into the universe allowed me to then take the steps necessary to get where I wanted to go. So it is a combination of announcing it to the world, but you're kind of announcing it to yourself too, so that you can take the steps and pair up with the universe in the place that you're supposed to meet.
And a lot of times these changes don't happen overnight. It's not like, it's not binary. One day I don't have it and the next day I do. Do you guys write it down or tell someone? How do you go about putting that out there into the world?
So I'm actually following some of Joe Dispenza's recommendations, and I actually have a piece of paper where I, you know, wrote down, you know, the letter of what I was looking for and the intentions of what I was looking for. And then the elevated emotions that I would have if I got it. And I am not kidding. Like I drew one yesterday and it came to be today. It was
wow,
pretty incredible. It's actually sitting here on my desk right next to me. And I won't show you because my penmanship is horrible, but, but the universe doesn't care about that. And I'll even go back to, you know, we did a podcast on like the manifestation of money specifically. And Jeremy and I both, like, you know, we talked to each other, but I threw it out there to the universe. You know, I had two like large expenses that were like almost $4,000. And I just threw it out to the universe and I was like, well, thanks for paying me back on these, you know, unexpected expenses that are coming up. And it was, you know, a few weeks later that we just got an unexpected check from some reimbursement for something that was paid for a long time ago for like $32 more than we spent.
Wow. And
Jeremy also had something similar happen to him on the financial front.
Yeah, we lost same amount of, roughly the same amount of money, and it was just, you know, we got hoodwinked on something and felt horrible about it. And so we had just done that interview on manifesting money, and I was emailing the folks we talked to, and they said, just start thanking the universe for giving you that money back, and just watch, it'll come. And I'm still like, this is hokey. I don't know. This sounds crazy. But I did. I took their advice at stoplights. I would just, thank you for giving me that money back. I'm so glad that we got that resolved. I'm so relieved. That was a huge loss for us. And within, a few days, the rules of moving internationally changed and allowed me to change our moving plans, and did so in a way that I saved almost exactly the amount of money that was lost in the scam. So it was crazy. And that it's little things like that where I'm just like, I can't deny when something like that happens to me. There's plenty of people that are like, oh, it doesn't happen like that all the time. Like, well, of course not. But the fact that it happens at all is something you have to look at and you have to consider.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And at those stoplights, were you saying it out loud? Were you saying it to yourself?
Oh, yeah. Totally out loud. Yeah.
I actually have the same Joe Dispenza symbol plus intention plus emotion directly behind the screen right now. And I see it every day. So
that's awesome. Nice.
Do you guys use his system of mind movies at all?
I haven't quite gotten there yet. So no, it's an interesting read, and I've been thinking a little bit differently about like how I think and how I imagine things. And it really led me down a path to like turn, like I think in pictures, but at one point I was reading his book and it made me think about turning the camera around and looking at like what my thought is. Like it was a very weird moment for me to like look at the camera that's projecting images in my mind. And it was almost like a spiritual moment for me. And I understood how my mind works and how I think a little bit better.
For listeners, the way mind movies work is it's affirmation paired with powerful imagery. And because of that, the images evoke emotional responses. And when that happens, your brain goes into an alpha state. And when it's in an alpha state, your subconscious is more suggestible. So the words on the screen more easily slip into your subconscious and are able to reprogram it. And there's more information in science about this, how exactly it works, in his book, Becoming Supernatural.
I don't do it quite that specifically, but there's plenty of times, and this whole move that I've just gone through is one example of doing some breath work and really meditating on what is supposed to happen, what path am I supposed to follow. And there was one in particular shortly after, I was at the house two doors down. And I started asking whoever I was encountering during this breathwork session, what does home look like? What is home for me? And it just was these clear shapes that look just like this neighborhood and the houses that are in it, which are very different than the house I was in. And I took that very much as a message of that is home for you. That is the thing you're supposed to be striving for. And I kept doing little things like that and just sort of asking, am I still on the right path? Am I still on the right path? And I used to live next door to this lake that I adored, just this tiny little lake. And I was really sad to leave it because it was so close to where I live and it was just really peaceful. And one day I went for a run and I went down to the lake and I just sat there and I closed my eyes and I just asked for the lake's permission to leave. And when I looked up, there was a Canadian goose looking right at me. And because I've now moved to Canada, and it was so hard to not just be like, okay, how is this not a message? Like literally I asked the lake for forgiveness and there's a Canada goose looking me in the face. Again, you can get really woo woo and think, oh, well, that's a coincidence. That's nonsense. But to me, it meant something. And so I look for little signs like that to show that the thing I am imagining and the life that I want to live, I'm taking the right steps to live it.
So paying attention to the more subtle signs, but I guess in your case, it wasn't necessarily all that subtle.
Not all that subtle. No, not in my case.
What is one thing that the FitMess tribe doesn't know about you two?
We are pretty vulnerable. We open up on the show. So that's an interesting one. Jeremy, you want to take it?
I had to rack my brain on it, and I'll give you this. I have an irrational fear a few times a year of the sun, of Earth getting too close to the sun and getting too far from the sun. There are literally like when it's, you know, when it's hot for like 2 weeks, I start going through this process of like, it's possible. Maybe we got off course. Maybe we're getting too close to the sun. And then in the winter, when it's just been frozen over for a month and a half and I haven't seen the sun, then I'm like, okay, we're way too far. We have got to get back. This is not safe. So that's a little irrational fear that I carry around, but I don't advertise much.
No, I would say the one thing that most people don't know about me is I'm very clear on my musical choice. I like heavy metal, you know, just like hard, crunchy rock music, you know, from the 80s and 90s. But if Celine Dion comes on, I will turn it up and I will listen to anything that Celine Dion puts out. I am a huge fan.
I don't know if we can be friends anymore.
I don't know why. I really enjoy it.
Well, Zach, Jeremy, how would you like to conclude our episode together tonight?
I would like to just say, you know, bring it back to, we talked about being curious so much. And I think that's just for any improvement in your life, you've got to get curious. You have to ask why and dig a little bit deeper into why you're doing things and try new things.
I guess I'll finish with the thing that I tell my kids all the time. And I'm really telling myself is, you know, you're going to regret the things you don't do way more than the things you do and fail. Mm-hmm. So say yes, take chances, take big risks, because it's just going to be so much more rewarding. You don't want to end up looking back at all the things you wished you'd done and wondering what if. I would rather look back and look at all the things I failed and the few successes that came from trying and being brave than to just wonder what would have happened.
And if you do fail, a lot of times the consequences aren't nearly as grave as you anticipated.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm Nick Urban here with Zach Tucker and Jeremy Grader tonight, founders and hosts of the Fit Mess podcast, signing out from mindbodypeak.com. Have a great week. Thank you for tuning in to this episode. Head over to Apple Music, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts and leave a rating. Every review helps me bring you thought-provoking guests. As always, you can find the show notes for this one at mindbodypeak.com/episode. There, you can also chat with other peak performers or connect with me directly. The information depicted in this podcast is for information purposes only. Please consult your primary healthcare professional before making any lifestyle changes.